please listen carefully.
Well, hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, and yes, Christy, that's still 365 days a year. We publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, we had our highest listener day ever-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Today is Friday, June 12th, 2020. Now, Christy,
yes,
I have some kind of amazing news.
Okay.
We had 21,000 new people come to the Optimist Daily last week.
Ooh, that's great. That's a whole lot of positivity going out in the world, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you run a publishing enterprise, a content distribution enterprise, you look at your returning users and you look at your new users. And right now with the Optimist Daily, our goal is to increase share, spread solutions. And goodness knows we need it right now. And to have on just kind of an average week for us. Because guess what? Not only did we get 21,000 new users this week, but we got the same number the week before and the week before. So in this past month, we've had almost 100,000 new audience members to the Optimist Daily. And I just want to congratulate you and the editorial team. And I want to congratulate everybody who is finding, sharing, and reading the Optimist Daily, because it's working. And we are seeking optimism and we are changing consciousness. So I am just feeling a little CEO love at this moment.
Well, I'm so happy for you to share that with me. And I feel a little touched to just know that. I mean, it is our mission to have 100 million people start their day with solutions thinking, because it's our belief that if enough people are focused on what's going right in the world and how they can each be involved with the positive side of things, it will really shift the whole way the world is working. We get so caught up in the negativity in the news, the negativity in the world, and we get trapped in thinking about that all the time. I think I read somewhere that 94% of news headlines last year were negative. That's not at all balanced, because the world was not terrible last year. I mean, this year, I don't know. There's a lot of other negative stuff going on. But last year, there was a lot of challenges. Yes, definitely. There always are. But there's also always a lot of things that are really going well. And if you think about every individual's life, most of the time things are going well and you just sort of take that for granted. And so what I want to do, what my mission in life is to help people just connect to the things that go well and cherish that instead of getting so caught up thinking about all the things that don't go well, which you have to pay attention to, definitely. But don't get lost in that. I need to take that medicine myself sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's really hard to find the positive in the world at this precise moment. And I think that we're seeing kind of a ballooning of intensity. And, you know, between the quarantine, the COVID, the reopening, and now the re-escalation in cases that we're seeing in some of the areas that have opened, layered over with the economic issues as well as the racial injustice. We've talked about this a thousand times.
Don't forget about the environmental collapse, which is still happening.
Right. It's just very intense. And finding our way out of the negative and into the positive may seem like some to be not an effective method of solution. But in actuality, seeking positive, seeking solutions, not just talking about the negative, will get us out of this mess. I am optimistic for the future. I am, however, also like you, feeling the weight of those 21,000 people in the 365 days a year. And so I guess what I would ask of our readers and our listeners who are on the podcast, just let us know you're out there and keep sharing the content and help us carry this burden, because We cannot do optimism alone. We need your help. Okay, but let's like get off all of this stuff.
What is going on in the world?
Enough about all that. Today's headlines on the Optimist Daily. It was kind of a fun read this morning, as always. Christy, what did you love this morning?
Well, the one I wanted to highlight was actually the top story of the day. And it's about one of the oldest grizzlies outside of a zoo has emerged from yet another winter. And this is in the environment section of the Optimist Daily. And it's just a really nice story about the successful conservation about grizzly bears. And there's a nature photographer who lives near Yellowstone who has been tracking this one bear known as 399. I guess she just has a number because she lives in the wild. She's 24 years old, which is one of the oldest grizzlies that lives in the wild. And she just came out. She's got some new cubs, which makes her a matriarch in the grizzly community in the Yellowstone National Park and Yellowstone ecosystem. And I just love this because we need more wins. We need more successes. Yeah. And the other reason that I love this particular story is it talks about the relationship between Jane Goodall, who's one of the biggest fans of this particular grizzly bear, who's become a bit of a star in the conservation circles. And Jane Goodall has been one of her followers for the last 15 years. And so Jane Goodall was one of my inspirational figures in my young life when I made the decision to become an anthropologist, reading her work on the chimpanzees. And she inspired me to really go into that field, along with others, including Margaret Mead and Diane Fossey and the other female primatologists who really made that their career. And then when I was in graduate school, one of the professors that I worked closely with was a woman named Shirley Strum. I TA'd for her, and she had done some really important studies on baboons, who up until that point had always been categorized as very aggressive. The focus was on the male-dominated hierarchies and the alphaness. And what Shirley did when she was there in the 70s, she did these massive studies looking at the complex dynamics that a lot of times were led by the female side of those populations, and not just the competition, but the cooperation that is how those communities really functioned. They're very social, very complex, very dynamic. Yes, there is competition, but there's also tons of cooperation. And so she sort of turned it on its head. It's not just these brutal, aggressive animals, but rather these socially complex relationships that is how these communities survive. And the thing that's interesting about the grizzly bears and this particular grizzly is that she helped people who study grizzly bears kind of upset the idea that grizzlies are just these aggressive, horrible, scary creatures. You know, it's more complicated than that. It's more complex.
It's the villainization of sharks and the villainization of grizzlies. It's not zeros and ones. It's not binary. They're not good or bad. These animals have very complex structures and complex needs, and grizzlies are not as terrible. You know, I love that this story says the oldest living Bruin, because grizzlies are a California symbol, and I attended California colleges. So Go Bears is just in my heart of hearts. But what I loved about this story is the reference to Jane Goodall. And when I was in high school, Jane Goodall actually came and spoke to my high school. I went to a relatively small all-girls school in Pasadena, and Jane came and spoke. And it was a life-changing, direction-changing moment for me, because I saw this incredibly charismatic person. And even though Jane herself is kind of a little quirky, her ability to tell a story about changing the world and changing perceptions made me want to find more stories like that. She was a mentor to me, even though I just got to see her speak for 2 hours at, you know, 15 years old. And the story that I've picked also is because a strong female mentor and guide inspired me in a certain direction. The story that I picked to talk about today is Ethiopia setting out to plant 5 billion trees in 2020 from the environment section. And like you, Christy, in graduate school, I had the opportunity to work under some extraordinary female professors. And my thesis project was actually in Ethiopia. And I did a business sustainability study in Ethiopia. And it was an organization called Project Mercy, led by Marta Gabre-Sadek, who was basically known as kind of the Mother Teresa of Ethiopia. And Marta had created this entity along with her husband called Project Mercy that assisted in maternal health, farming, education, and general hospital availability in a pretty remote part of Ethiopia called Yettabon. So I actually was able to travel to Ethiopia. And so this story about Ethiopia setting out to plant these 5 billion trees in 2020 with 20 billion seedlings by 2025 to combat environmental degradation and transition into a green society really got me excited and took me back to Yettabon.
I think that when these kinds of stories spark those kind of memories, it puts it into a different context, which is both personal and global, you know?
Yes.
So I think I like that you chose this one. And the whole idea of using trees to bring biodiversity back to land by adding additional greenery, it builds resilience. It also really sort of reclaims land, which has had to be abandoned because of farming in unsustainable ways and additional population pressures. It's sort of this dust bowl of Africa, which this project, the Green Legacy, really is trying to do that sort of environmental restoration, which is very possible. John Liu, who's an ecological warrior who I've been following for the last few years, has done work with the African countries and Ethiopia to create these kinds of environmental resurgence areas, reclamation areas, by just adding more biomass into the soil and using some new techniques, which are all about ecological restoration, you can really transform a landscape back into vibrancy. And yeah. Ethiopia is one of the countries that is really getting involved with that. There's the Great Green Wall of Africa that they're working on, and Ethiopia has been really instrumental in building that out.
Well, gardening is one of my passions. I tend my garden here at my, but we have a small but relatively robust garden here at our house down on the Central Coast. And I actually, yesterday morning, for the first time ever, Brennan decided to wake up at 5 a.m. and we had a whole 3 hours before you and I get to get our day started with one another. And so I actually weeded in the garden while she played in her playpen for about an hour yesterday. And just to have my hands in the dirt. And then this morning when I looked out my front door, I opened my front door because I wanted to see how everything was doing. And I just have this beautiful garden, and everything that I've grown in my home in our garden has been from a cutting from someone else's garden. I try not to buy plants, but instead use cuttings from different places. So every plant kind of has a story. And even in our own life, I know that our home is enriched by the garden, and I know that I love being in it and playing in it. And part of my mission in life is to tend things that want to grow. And I know that, you know, as we look at Ethiopia and the experience in Ethiopia, that is a country that is ready to grow and change and make a real difference in the ecological footprint of the world. So it is beautiful to see that they're doing this. And along with Pakistan and their effort to plant trees, you know, the Optimist Daily just loves covering these kinds of stories, and I love reading them.
All right. Well, we are out of time because we actually are pushing up against an appointment that you and I have to go and attend to, Summers. But I think this is really important. I love the idea that you want to nurture things that want to grow, like this little company, the Optimist Daily. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is change for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us. Go look at what's on the website today. We didn't get to read out what our additional headlines are, but there are some great ones that are more about the current moment in addition to these two stories we highlighted, which are sort of both feel-good environmental positives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com and help us grow. With just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism and the extraordinary team reaching 21,000 new people last week and the week before and the week before. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Amelia. Everybody have a great day, and we'll see you on Monday.